Fridays and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Israel and Iran are upping attacks on each other. CBS's Deborah Pata at the scene of a damaged medical facility.
The moment an Iranian missile slammed into Soroka Hospital in Beersheba this morning. Inside, panic and chaos as doctors and patients fled to the bomb shelters.
Israel reports at least 40 wounded. President Trump says he's still weighing his options. Another miss for SpaceX.
Whoa!
A Starship rocket burst into a huge fireball just before a planned test in Texas last night. Comes after another uncrewed rocket exploded over the Indian Ocean. A jury in Boston has found Karen Reed not guilty of murder and manslaughter in the death of her police officer boyfriend.
No one has fought harder for justice for John O'Keefe than I have. My team.
Her first trial ended with the jury deadlocked. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Some state lawmakers are expressing concerns about proposed legislation to include a plain language explanation for ballot referendums. The legislation specifies that the explanation would be written by the nonpartisan Legislative Reference Bureau, but could be revised by lawmakers afterwards. Critics of the proposal say the legislative majority could have too much control over the process. They also argue the language of the legislation fails to define what exactly plain language means and that it lacks an enforcement mechanism to ensure fairness. Prescription labels include more than just your name and dosage. Brittany Merlot tells us they also list key details that affect when and how you get your next supply of meds.
One of the most common sources of confusion is the difference between a refill and a renewal. A refill means your provider has already given the pharmacy permission to give you more. But once those run out, a renewal is needed, which means your doctor needs to prescribe a new prescription before the pharmacy can fill it again.
Sometimes patients might forget to look and see how many refills they have left, and they'll expect there to be one. And
that's Olivia Bishop, an Aspirus Pharmacy resident. It's also important to check the expiration date printed on the labels.
It is the date where we can confirm that the medication is still effectively working. Unfortunately, after that expiration date, maybe the medication might lose its effectiveness.
Tomorrow is the first day of the Central Wisconsin High School Trap Team Booster Club Brat Fry in Wisconsin Rapids. It kicks off Friday at 10 a.m. and runs through Sunday. All proceeds will help support the six team members travel to the USA High School Clay Target League Nationals in Mason, Michigan in July. They'll be set up at 998 Ranger Road in Wisconsin Rapids. You can help them reach their goal of selling 400 brats. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Baseball today. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Cubs go at it today at the friendly confines of Wrigley Field in Chicago. Last night's game rained out and rescheduled for August 18th. NFL, former Packers defensive back Jaire Alexander signed a one-year deal yesterday with the Baltimore Ravens, reported worth $6 million, but a breakdown shows the deal is actually $4 million with the rest based on incentives and how many games played. NBA, former Oshkosh North High alum Tyrese Halliburton and the Pacers host the Thunder tonight in Game 6 of the NBA Finals. The Thunder up 3-2 in that series, but Halliburton dealing with a strained right calf muscle.
Practice today, did what I could. I know Coach just told you guys what the process will be for me to play, and we're just taking it from there.
Are you dealing with the strain?
Yeah.
That's the Indiana Pacers shooting guard Tyrese Halliburton. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A mix of sun and clouds today and warm with highs in the lower 80s. An isolated shower or storm possible late in the afternoon. That chance for a shower or thunderstorm continues into the nighttime. It'll be mild with lows in the low to mid-60s. Right now, it's 57.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Maggie Dawn.
Tomorrow, we've got celebrity guests. We've got Marcelia Nicholson, Milwaukee County Board Chair, Sabrina Madison, Dana Pelobon, and Ellie Halo, a woman of Black trans experience. Do not miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Oh, Lake Wissota is looking good today. Good morning, 7:06. It's nice to have you back here on a Thursday morning. It's June 19th, 2025. Parker Olson standing by in Madison Studio A2. Brittany Merlot standing by to tell you the forecast. We will be talking a bit about holidays and festivals this weekend. We'll be talking about today's holiday, the Juneteenth holiday, a little historical background on it. We'll get into Summerfest, which starts today in Milwaukee. The big gig is here, and other things going on, including the big Cranberry Blossom Festival in Wisconsin Rapids. We'll talk to somebody from there about what all you can do if you want to take a road trip out to the central part of the state coming up this weekend. A reminder, as always, you can reach us. You can send us a text message, for example, at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. But you can also put something in the comment section. You can find us online in five different places. For Civic Media, it's the Facebook page or the YouTube page. For Up North News, it's the Facebook page or the YouTube page. And you can also follow my Facebook page. Head over to Facebook. Facebook.com/Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And you can put something on there as well. One more way to reach us, you can speak your mind as well. There is the voice note feature on the Civic Media app. You can use that to record a message with a comment or a question. You can steer the conversation into another topic that we might play on air. It'll show up here. One Parker Olson will take a look at it and decide if you make the cut or not. Parker has decided that, once again, Brittany Merlot passed the audition and is welcome here to give us a forecast, which is alternatingly rainy and sultry. Or is it steamy? Or is it sticky?
Any of those words.
It's gross.
Gross.
Let's go with gross.
Yeah.
Here are the gross details on the weekend from Brittany Merlot.
Yes, here we go. All right. So we've got fog out there in places this morning. That's going to clear very, very shortly. We've got spots of sun. We've also got a few clouds and a few showers and thunderstorms rolling in towards Spooner, Rice Lake area right now. Otherwise, temperatures starting in the mid-50s to mid-60s statewide. And today we are going to reach those upper 70s to low 80s everywhere today. Dew points kind of comfortable in the 50s. So it's going to be a nice, beautiful, bright day today. We do have that front, though, still sitting over northern parts of the state. So this is why a few scattered showers and small brief storms are still possible here. So that'll be the case through this morning. Then by tonight, we are looking at chances for more storms starting to spark up, especially north, probably after 8 o'clock or so, and then rolling their way through portions of the state, kind of like they did yesterday. Very widely scattered. It's going to hit or miss who's going to get them. That'll be the case again tonight. And some of those could be stronger, potentially severe, maybe some gusty winds and hail. We are in a marginal risk statewide for them to turn severe. And then as we go through tomorrow morning, expect widespread rain, probably some heavy rain, thunderstorms. Again, some of them could be strong to severe as this front lifts north. So after that, after tomorrow afternoon, we are going to go into an excessive heat. We have a watch out right now for northern and western parts of the state where temperatures are going to be rising statewide to about 90 to 95 degrees. And then the dew points are going to be in the mid-70s. I told you today they're in the 50s. Yesterday they were in the 60s. We haven't felt those mid to upper 70 dew points just yet. Paired with the 90s, it is going to be feeling like the triple digits. Heat index values will feel like anywhere from 100 to 105 degrees. This is both Saturday, Sunday, and pushing into Monday too. So very, very hot as we bring in summer and have all of these events, but at least it'll be dry. We just have to hydrate.
So people are like, well, why do you say gross? She told you right there, dew points in the 70s. That is the meteorological definition of gross. Right
it
there.
Absolutely is. It doesn't get much worse than that.
But. Oh, you definitely feel it. Good morning from Tigerton, writes Rob. It's partly cloudy and 60. Last night we had a thunderstorm around 11 p.m. and picked up 0.4 inches of rain, had 2 yards to mow. Yesterday I had 3 to mow now. One of them, I need to get that done before Central Wisconsin Electric Co-op buries power lines in that area this afternoon. Good thing the ground is moist before the hot weather this weekend and the crops will grow real fast, which we need. The hot, humid weather and the moisture in the ground for the crops to grow. And as far as the voice note feature goes, Alicia writes, Pat, do you really want me to speak my mind? I'm not saying they're not all going to air necessarily.
I'm the gatekeeper here, guys.
Yeah. And then from Roger and Stevens Point on Facebook, we were talking about heart in our last segment because Ann Wilson is 75 today. He says, Dreamboat Annie, the album came out when I was 10 years old, and now that album is 49 years old. We've been listening to Heart for a good long time. So, Brittany, next hour, I want to talk to you about, you have a story up about smallmouth bass. And,
oh, yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Where you can go there. But what I wanted to ask you about this time around was these early sunrises. Mm-hmm. And to ask, now, this I know this isn't quite weather-related, but it's about sunrise and sunset. And I noticed something, and I think Roger noticed it as well over at the time and date website. When you look at, you know, how early the sun comes up, and you notice how it always gets light beforehand.
Right.
I didn't realize till I was looking at that website, there are actually 3 different types of twilight that they describe. Okay. There's astronomical twilight, there's nautical twilight, and there's civil twilight. Had you ever heard of these before?
I have not. No. What's the astronomical? I'm curious.
Well, see, they say it's all about how far the sun is below the horizon yet. So the sun hasn't risen, but you're still getting some of the sun's rays. They're still, you know, being bounced around in the atmosphere, and we can see a little bit of light. And so the definitions, he said, trying to pull up the right screen on his phone here to best describe them, is... The astronomical one is the darkest one, okay? It's where there's just barely any light. You can still see a lot of the stars. It's actually more useful at the opposite end of the scale. That's the, you know, the last of the light before it gets completely dark. And the sun is 18 degrees below the horizon, it says here. And then there's nautical twilight, and that's the one where, it, you know, again, named for sailing, where you can see enough to... get a feel for where you're going. And then the last one, civil twilight, is where you really don't need any lighting to help you. The sun's not up yet, but you can see enough. So there's, you know, the astronomical one is 18 degrees below the horizon. Nautical is 12 degrees below the horizon. And then civil dawn is 6 degrees. The sun is still below the horizon. It hasn't yet risen. And it just really jumped out at me that, you know, in Wisconsin, that first one, that astronomical twilight.
Yeah.
You know, we have sunrise at 5:18, but astronomical twilight, that first bit of you know, a little bit of light out there where the sky isn't pitch black at this time of year, 2:46 in the morning.
Yeah. Okay.
2:46 is when you get the first little hints of something out there where it's not totally dark. Huh. And then at this part of the year, nautical twilight is at 3:51 a.m. And that's the one that I kind of notice when I first get going up and about. It's like, yep. And then civil twilight is now at 4:41 in the morning. And that one where it's like, yeah, the sun's not up yet, but you could go for a walk or something like that. And I bring up all this for people who say we shouldn't have daylight savings time. If we didn't have daylight savings time, bring all that back an hour. Astronomical twilight would start at 1:46 in the morning, nautical at 2:51 in the morning, civil twilight at 3:41, and sunrise at 4:18. Who wants sunrise at 4:18 in the morning? Nobody.
Nobody.
So when you're talking about, I don't want daylight savings time, you're half right. You want daylight savings time. We just want it all year round.
Right.
We don't need noon to be when the sun is straight up. I was just talking about my Apple Watch. Do you see a sundial on this thing? There is no sundial. We don't use sundials anymore. So we can have noon be whenever we want. So we want our noon at 1 o'clock from now on.
I like it. I'm with you.
I feel really strong about this.
This really threw me off.
That's how I feel about it, too. Who really wants that sun that early in summer? Well, nobody.
And that late. I mean, Rob is pointing out right now, I noticed sunset. There is light in the sky at 10 p.m. in June. And he's absolutely right. I mean, I was just looking at that end of it. At sunset now is at 8:55, which means civil twilight goes until 9:32. That sounds about right. Nautical twilight goes until 10:22. You still have, enough that you could say there's some twilight out there at 10:22. Yep. And it doesn't get pitch black out there nowadays until 11:28 at night. And it's all because of that thing we talked about yesterday, the Earth on its, spinning on its axis. And how it got to be that way.
Gotta love summer, the longest day of the year, tomorrow.
Yep. Well, everybody, that was fun. Nerd chat.
yes, it was. Gotta be
twilights and the curvature of the Earth and axis and everything else. And once again, Brittany Merlot pointing out why she is the most patient person in civic media. Brittany, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
We'll see you next hour. And we're going to talk a little fishing at that point as well. Got a few things to tell you about in terms of Up North News and Civic Media and our parent company, Courier Newsroom. For Civic Media, besides having a newsroom with statewide reach, just like us at Up North News, our friends at Civic Media have you covered with local news updates from each individual station. You can go to civicmedia.com and find your local Civic Media station. And somewhere up near the top of the station's homepage, you're going to see something called the Daily News Roundup that you can listen to. Just click on there and you'll hear the latest. You can also get email versions of their daily update while you're there as well. So again, go to Civic Media. Did I say civicmedia.com? I meant to say civicmedia.us. Civicmedia.us. And go find your local station there and give a listen to those local updates that are there. Meanwhile, for purposes of our show, wanted to tell you about tomorrow because we're not going to have our usual lineup of guests. We've got folks who are traveling, have the day off, things like that. So in place of Kia Vakil tomorrow morning at 6:30, we will have somebody from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation because they just put out a new study all about how much Wisconsin hospitals would lose if the current version of the Trump big bloated boondoggle of a budget bill were to pass. We're talking about $3 to $4 billion in reductions over the next decade. A whole lot of that coming from uncompensated care if Medicaid gets slashed. And a lot of hospitals are on thin enough margins that they'll close up. And we've seen how many small hospitals have already closed in Wisconsin. So we'll find out more about that in our 6 a.m. hour tomorrow. And then in our 7 a.m. hour, we will not be able to meet up with Jim Santel. He's got a court hearing. Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze are both out traveling, but I was able to find one woman who could replace them all, and that would be Chicago broadcasting legend Joan Esposito. She will be joining me throughout the 7 a.m. hour tomorrow, and then in the 8 a.m. hour, things get back to normal with Dr. Kristen Lyerly showing up here at 8:05, and then Mike Clemens has a preview of sports. That'll be coming up at 8:30. And speaking of sports, we'd love to tell you about how the Brewers did against the Cubs at Wrigley Field, but Wrigley Field hasn't figured out how to put on a dome yet, and so the game was rained out. So were the White Sox. Both Chicago games were rained out. Detroit was rained out. Cincinnati was a near rain out. Anyway, the Brewers-Cubs game will be made up as part of a day-night doubleheader on Monday, August 18th. The teams are scheduled to wrap up their series this afternoon. You can catch the pregame starting at 12:45 on several Civic media stations. Brewers rookie pitcher Jacob Mizorowski was supposed to start last night. It's not clear if he's going to be starting this afternoon's game. We're going to talk about the Juneteenth holiday next. For some of you, there will be a local update. Live from Lake Wissota, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Get ready to experience Milltown Coffee Company, where they'll delight your taste buds with a delicious selection of breakfast and lunch options, a full espresso and coffee menu, and irresistible ice cream. Explore their charming retail and gift area and enjoy their inviting outdoor seating, which is not only dog friendly, but also features freshly baked dog treats, perfect for your furry companions. Join them for exciting special evening events and a vibrant weekly farmers market that brings the community together. Milltown Coffee Company, opening May 2025.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit crockettseptic.com.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party? You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Welcome to WFHR's Director's Playhouse for this June 2025, Session 64. Your host and program director here, James J. Maloff. We want to welcome the best listeners in radio to the WFHR stage, author, creative, and Wisconsin's own Lori Schneider is with us. Lori, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Lori, really appreciate the time. And we're going to be taking some time to talk with Lori about an event that she has coming up, a Meet Your Author event that will be taking place at, with our good friends over at the Southwood County Historical Museum. We'll talk about that. And we're going to talk about her book in just a moment, too. A very, very important, meaningful book that I look forward to diving into with you, Lori. But if you don't mind, one of our favorite things we like to do around here is getting to know people. We like to hear people's origin stories. Lori, can you tell us a little bit about where you're from and a little bit about yourself?
I was born in Riverview Hospital in Wisconsin Rapids. I grew up in Rapids. I graduated from Lincoln High School. I was involved in high school on the literary magazine, of course. My mom grew up in Wisconsin Rapids. She was sort of a notable citizen who was an activist and very active, both my parents in the Democratic Party. So I was raised in a very socially conscious family. Mm-hmm. But I was a pretty shy kid.
Mm.
time.
Okay. You know, Lori, that's not too surprising, especially we hear that from writers often. But I have to say, you took me a little off guard there a little. My brother and all three of my kids were born in Riverview, and I am also a proud Lincoln grad. So we got some things in common here, and I think more as we go along. But that's wonderful to hear. And it's so great to hear of we talk to a lot of Wisconsin creatives, and it's fun. But to be able to talk to somebody with that such close local ties to us here in Rapids and at WFHR and everything, that means even more. And it's all the more reason why we want to support you and support your work. Before we get into some of that, though, Lori, when did you start first thinking about being a writer?
You know, I don't know if I've thought so much about being a writer as I was just an avid reader. Mm. I was read to as a child. I just loved books so much. So I'm super excited about this event that's going to be at the Historical Museum, because once upon a time, that museum was my childhood library.
Oh.
And it is really a magical, it was a magical place as a library. If you've been in the museum, you know, it's this stately brick building on the river. It's just gorgeous. There's a beautiful staircase with polished wood banisters leading up to what had been the children's room. Mm. So that place was really a second home for me. So I read just tons growing up. And, you know, I had a great life within those books. And so it makes a lot of sense that, you know, If I could create an experience like that, I would love to. So one of the things that actually took place at Lincoln High School that was really important to me was my senior year of high school, we had a visiting poet in the schools. His name was J.D. Whitney. He was a bit of a rebel. This was in the mid-70s, long-haired, Harley-driving poet.
Mm-hmm.
And he spent a lot of time with my English class, and we wrote poetry and had a reading event at the end. And strangely enough, years later, I'm living in Oklahoma and go to a poetry reading, and J.D. Whitney is there.
Wow.
And he now lives in Norman, Oklahoma, and we're now buddies.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. That is really cool. That is too cool. And that is that's just how life works, isn't it?
It is. Life is pretty amazing, honestly.
Yeah, it's something. So that happens, and that's pretty, and leads me right into my next question. As far as influences go, it sounds like he was a bit of one. Did you have other influences, and even, you know, outside of writing, just influences in general? It's a tough one.
I'm thinking about this.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a lot of poetry in college, too. I wasn't a creative writing major. I was an English major.
Mm.
But the community, I went to college at Oberlin in Ohio, and there was a really big writing community there. But honestly, coming from where I came from, you know, sort of small town Wisconsin, I was a little bit intimidated until I actually took a little bit of time off from college and came back. And then I felt like I could hold my own. Probably the biggest influence on my writing is honestly just all the books I read. I have just a particular love for children's middle grade literature.
Mm.
So, like Judy Blume, there were just a whole bunch of really formative works from my childhood, things like A Wrinkle in Time.
Mm.
Bridge to Terabithia, just a lot of great classic sort of kids books.
Yeah.
And I continued to read children's books as an adult, so it makes sense that when I started to actually write fiction, I don't know that I was necessarily trying to write middle grade fiction, but I think I write a lot for my inner 12-year-old.
You know, a lot of that makes sense and ties into not only your work, but I think also. So one of the things we really like to do with this show, Lori, is certainly promote local artists and talk about you guys, but encourage other artists out there. We have a lot of young artists, young writers, creatives out there listening to this stuff. And I think it's very, I know that it's very helpful to them to hear somebody, you know, what it took and how they made good, how they were able to get published in these things. It means something whenever we have a guest on, a writer on, but to have somebody like yourself literally from here and hearing your story, it's not only inspirational, but it's encouraging to our young creatives out there. It's hopefully helpful to them that, you know, there is no, especially in this day and age, no matter how small a town you're from or how big of a town you're from, you can make it, you can get published, you can get to that break. And I appreciate you sharing that. Thank you for that.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, today, there's great online support for writers.
You were listening to Director's Playhouse. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
A new bipartisan agreement down at the state capitol could mean some improved health care options for folks in rural communities. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Thursday. It is called the Advanced Practice Registered Nurse Modernization Act. And Wisconsin Senator Patrick Teston from Stevens Point, who chairs the Senate Agriculture and Revenue Committee, is happy that it's finding support. Teston says that this bill has been around for at least 13 years, trying to authorize qualified registered nurses to practice independently of a physician and without need for collaboration, as long as cases don't fall outside their areas of expertise. Teston says that gives rural health care providers a whole lot more options.
You know, we have an agreement, and while not everyone was 100% happy with the final product, I am quite confident it's going to get signed into law and it's going to move these advanced practice registered nurses in the right direction, which is primarily to empower them to do the jobs that they were trained to do, which is to take care of patients. And so I'm hopeful that we will become the 29th state that has enacted a form of this legislation. And it's a step in the right direction to help patients and empower providers.
That's Wisconsin Senator Pat Teston. He says when it comes to frontline medical professionals, especially in rural communities, they are well aware of the dire workforce challenges being faced. He said this APRN Modernization Act would hopefully help relieve some of that stress.
Wisconsin's dairy farmers are more than just producers of milk and cheese. They're dedicated caretakers of the land, animals, and communities that they call home. Tina Peterson, Director of Wisconsin Communications for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, explains the essential role that these farmers play and how we can all take part in supporting them.
So we know our Wisconsin dairy farmers have a really long history of caring for their land and water, mostly because these are multi-generational farms, but they also take really great care in making sure they're taking care of their cows and their families and farms and communities. So there's a lot on a farmer's plate, but they are such a vital, important role in their communities. And we encourage consumers to really engage with our dairy farmers, ask them the questions they have, and then they can support dairy farmers by buying products made from our Wisconsin milk. And that's very easy to do in the store. You can go to any retailer and look for products that have the Proudly Wisconsin cheese or Proudly Wisconsin dairy badge.
To learn more about how you can support Wisconsin's dairy industry, visit wisconsindairy.org.
And starting next week, organic grain producers around the state will have several field day opportunities coming their way. Aaron Silva, who's professor and extension specialist of the O-Grain program, says despite inflationary pressures, organic product sales exceeded $71 billion last year and are expected to grow this year by at least a 4% rate. More stories like that available now at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm PM Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A mix of sun and clouds today and warm with highs in the lower 80s. An isolated shower or storm possible late in the afternoon. That chance for a shower or thunderstorm continues into the nighttime. It'll be mild with lows in the low to mid 60s. It's 58 at our studios.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, ICE agents are taking people into custody with no identification and they're masked. What is the legality of that? Jim Santel will join us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Up North News. Sharita, how are you?
Good, Pat. How are you doing?
I'm good. I am so ready for a weekend, and it's going to be a festival weekend in several places. We talked to Earl Ingram for a bit yesterday about Summerfest, and he talked about being at the first Summerfest, and we both swore it was 1970. We were wrong. It was 1968. Wow. The headliner was George Jessel. In 1969, the headliner was Dolly Parton. In 1970, it was Sly and the Family Stone. So I don't know which one, if you went to all of them or what, but those are just some of the early examples of who played at Summerfest. What do you want to tell us about this year's edition?
So, yeah, the world's largest music festival is kicking off in Milwaukee today and will run through the 21st. And some of those headliners for this weekend include Def Leppard, the Isley Brothers, Natasha Bedingfield, Gigi Perez, and James Taylor. There will also be almost 100 vendors selling clothing, jewelry, artwork, decor, and more. And of course, there will be tons of local food ranging from Ian's Pizza to Johnsonville Sazes and Pete's Pops and a whole lot more. General admission tickets are about $30 this year, but check out their website at summerfest.com for admission promotions.
And like I said yesterday, if you still haven't gone down to Milwaukee to take in Summerfest, I mean, do yourself a favor and just do this. And I was looking at the lineups as well. So like you said, tonight, Def Leppard, the Isley Brothers, Natasha Bedingfield, Gary Clark Jr. And then I'm looking at Friday. Friday is Hozier, George Thorogood, the Head and Heart, Cran Funk Railroad, Rick Springfield. And keep that in mind because we're going to mention him again in just a couple of minutes here. Sharita, what can you tell us about your years going to Summerfest?
The one I remember most is when I went to see Wiz Khalifa. This had to be like maybe 15 years ago, but it was so packed that day, like jam packed. And I ran into a couple of friends. So it was such a good time. It was like my favorite one yet. But then last year, I also went to go see SZA. So that was fun, too.
That's right.
She almost got rained out, too. Like it was a thunderstorm and they almost canceled it. But thank God. It kept going.
Wow. As I was looking at the history of Summerfest acts, funny that you say that, raining out, the 1978 headliner was rained out. So the Grateful Dead was supposed to play Summerfest, but never did. Let's carry on to other places that are having festivals this weekend. Let's come out here to the Chippewa Valley. We've got something new to talk about at the festival grounds in Eau Claire.
Yep. So Summer Jam will hit Eau Claire on Friday and Saturday. And some of those headliners include Lynyrd Skynyrd, The Black Crowes, Rick Springfield again.
There he is!
Yep, Gavin DeGraw, and more. There will also be an interactive zone for games and other fun activities, in addition to food courts and local food vendors, or local vendors where you can shop and grab some Summer Jam merch. They also have on-site camping right next to the festival, so you can pitch a tent or bring an RV. General admission tickets are $110, or you can get a two-day pass for $149. So you can get more information and your tickets at summerjamwi.com.
Last but not least, let's touch on something happening in Wisconsin Rapids.
Cranberry Blossom Festival is running through today through Sunday, and that four-day annual festival will include live music, a parade, arts and crafts, a carnival, and lots of treats featuring You guessed it, cranberries. You can get more information about that event at blossomfest.com.
I got just the person to talk about that out of Wisconsin Rapids. So let me make that transition, Sharita, by thanking you so much for that quick preview of things to do around Wisconsin this weekend. And we'll talk to you later.
Bye, Pat.
And as promised, here's our person. It's Maggie Mulesky, president of the Cherry Blossom Festival, the group that helps organize the big doings in Wisconsin Rapids. Maggie, hello. How are you?
I am very good. How are you?
Very good. Like we were just discussing, a lot of big things happening around Wisconsin this weekend, certainly in Wisconsin Rapids as well. You've got the Blossom Festival there. Do you know much about the genesis of it, how it came to be a cranberry blossom festival that was chosen?
Well, I believe the story behind it is because Wisconsin Rapids area is pretty much cranberries. We have a lot of cranberry growers around us. And we're celebrating the starting of the season where the berries are coming into blossom and going into the fall, then, you know, when they pick the berries. But this is the time of the year when it's very beautiful.
All right. Well, why don't you take us through some of what's going to be happening this weekend? I know there's a lot going on, so I'll let you pick a few select highlights that you'd like to have the folks know about.
Sure. This year we have 17 individual events. Some of those events, like the Blossom Fest Carnival, are going to run for 4 days. The ice cream social at the Historical Society on Saturday afternoon, only a couple hours, but get over there. Some great Wisconsin ice cream with cranberry syrup on the top. Can't beat it.
There's lunch down by the river. And later, there's the Aqua Skiers Water Ski Show.
Lunch by the River is their signature start of the Cranberry Blossom Festival. The Chamber is very involved with us doing a couple different events during the weekend. So there's also Chalk It Up. The Boys and Girls Club are running an event down right in front of their building by the YMCA called Chalk It Up, where you can pick up some chalk and make a nice picture on the sidewalk. So that's a great event for the family and the kids to do. The carnival opens at 6 and runs till 10 on Thursday night. We also have one that's been going with us for a long, long time. It's called Cinema Under the Stars. It's been downtown on the streets since the inception of it. This year they're showing The Wizard of Oz. Should be a very fun time. And the other newer one is the McMillan Concert Series is hosting the Daddy-O Jazz Band. I'm very much looking forward to seeing that.
From the water activities to the Chalk Fest to music in the evening, I mean, you're starting with a very full slate.
Yes, we do. We start with a very full Thursday. So do as I do, pick up a brochure. Circle the things you want to do and make a plan, because there is a lot to do.
Oh, my goodness. And that's barely scratching the surface, because you've also got on Friday the Dairy Berry Pancake Breakfast over at the Lincoln High School cafeteria. There's going to be the Material Girls quilt show going on, and then a Downtown on Tap event on Friday from 5 to 9 p.m. Some of these things, there's a Kids Learn to Fish that goes on there. I get the impression then, Maggie, that, I mean, this isn't any one group. These are many community groups that are all coming together and doing some things individually and some things together to make this all happen.
Yes, they are. Yes. And each group is doing it in conjunction with Cranberry Blossom Fest, but the money that they make, or even if they do charge, some do not charge for their events. Thus, the ice cream social is a no charge. There is some charge for some of the events. All that money goes back to their organizations, so to help their organizations continue to do the things that they do, which we find to be a double blessing for us. It has made the Cranberry Blossom Festival a nice full weekend, family weekend. And it's helped these organizations continue to do the good things that they do. So, yes, there's a Kids Learn to Fish by the Grand Rapids Lions. That's out at the Lions Club in their little pond out there. But there's also another one on Sunday morning that is run by the Rapids Police Department. That's another one, been going with us since the beginning. And you can just go down there. They'll have poles and rods and reels and, you know, all the things necessary to catch a fish. Then it goes into the Cranberry Blossom Festival Parade. It will start at the Boys and Girls Club on the west side of town and cross the river, come over to the top of the hill on the east side. Lots of things going on that, live music, even put a marching band together this year, which are very difficult to find these days. But we, but the chamber has worked with Lincoln High School and one other high school to make sure that there's a marching band there.
And then after the parade, last but not least, you got to have yourself a duck derby, and the Rapids Fire Department is putting that on, right?
Yes, yes. This is another thing. They started this maybe about 5-6 years ago. The money is going towards their charitable foundation. You can buy a duck. The duck is numbered. Once they dump the ducks into the river, first one to cross the line wins. And the fire department takes care of picking up all those ducks and getting them out of the river then. But lots of fun to watch.
It just, it sounds great. And it's going to be a very, very warm weekend. So hopefully folks stay hydrated. And to learn more about them, head over to blossomfest.com. And you can learn more, as described here by Maggie Mileski from the Wisconsin Rapids Cranberry Blossom Festival. She's the festival president. Maggie, thank you so much for such a great description of what we can expect this weekend. Thank you, Maggie. Have a wonderful day.
You also, Pat. Thank you.
It is 7:45 now on this Thursday morning. It's June 19th. And earlier, we talked about the voice note feature of the new Civic Media app. It's a new feature where you can either text, you can call, you can now leave this voice note. And what happens is it comes in on the same screen that our texts come in with a transcript of what's on the tape that somebody put on their voice note. Except, Parker, you and I would agree, the technology still needs some tweaking.
It might need a little tweaking. It might also need to tell us who's talking, would be nice.
It might, because we were seeing things like, I like listening to my daddy. I love listening to Pat quite low. And something that says, there's a part of the board. And as you'll hear, we're going to play the voice notes. None of that is correct whatsoever. It's way better than that. So play the first one.
I don't like listening to my daddy.
You're supposed to say, I love listening to Pat Kreitlow in the morning.
Well, that didn't work, so we had to leave another voice note. And here's how that one sounded.
There's a Pat in the morning.
One more time.
Oh, I listen to Pat in the morning.
I love listening to Pat in the morning. That'll work. That will work.
That'll work. That should be a promo.
Get on that text line and let us know who that adorable new announcer is, because I think I think there might be some new showliners coming up real soon
using
the voice note feature. You know what? You know what? We could actually do that. Look, Don Rue and I have been friends going back to my very first radio job in Rice Lake back in 1986. And Don is the voice you hear at the top of every hour here. And I don't think Donald will mind one bit if some other folks take a turn. So if you want to use that voice note feature and come up with your own intro to the show or something, you know, just give it the usual, you know, from Civic Media. It's Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Here from Up North News is Pat Kreitlow. We would use those.
That'd be a lot of fun.
I mean, don't swear or anything like that. Well, but yeah, that would be fun. I do sense that I had a feeling as to who the kids might belong to.
Oh, do
you? It's Tony. He puts here two different kids. The second one is 3-year-old Reese, and Sydney, age 5, has the sass. So there you go. It's Reese and Sydney who are following in their father's footsteps of, you know, stalking us through the YouTube page, and we couldn't be happier about that. Also coming up across the Civic Media Radio Network today, we've got, of course, Matt Nair on Air is coming up at 9 o'clock from 9 to 11. Jim Santel is slated to be on at 9:30 this morning. At 10:30, sports with Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company. And, of course, at 10:50, this shouldn't be a thing. Maggie Dawn has a full slate of guests for a special Juneteenth edition. Pete Schwabba's Nightlight has the popcorn pick of the week at 6:30. And, of course, Todd Alba will have updates on the possible budget cuts to the UW system. In fact, he's here coming up next for some of you. Others will have a local update, and we'll see you in our next hour with Sean O'Malley and more here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Now more than ever, Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price, you want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's, we help, you save. Price match applies to same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at Lowe's.com/lowest price guarantee.
Get ready to experience Milltown Coffee Company, where they'll delight your taste buds with a delicious selection of breakfast and lunch options, a full espresso and coffee menu, and irresistible ice cream. Explore their charming retail and gift area and enjoy their inviting outdoor seating, which is not only dog-friendly but also features freshly baked dog treats, perfect for your furry companions. Join them for exciting special evening events and a vibrant weekly farmers market that brings the community together. Milltown Coffee Company, opening May 2025.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Breaking sports radio show news coming across the ticker. In a move for the ages, 105.5 WIRI has traded for playmakers. Join us 4 to 5 Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. Hit us in the numbers by calling with your sports takes and feelings. We'll have James, Randy, Michael, and Seth bringing you local sports coverage and news that you won't hear anywhere else. Thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Be heard 4 to 5 every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on 105.5 WIRI's newest roster edition, Playmakers. We speak sports.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Yeah. I mean, I've had critique groups that were in person, but I've had really great critique groups that were virtual, and I made some really good, solid friends and met some great writers that way, and that's always available.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been writing since I was about 12, and a lot of the writing I did was at our old stomping grounds at Lincoln and everything, and I've written short stories, plays, all kinds of stuff. My oldest daughter is a multiple published author already. She's been at this a lot. Right. She's been at it shorter than I have, and she's already like a lot more published than I've ever been, and I'm very proud of that. I'm very happy about that, but it also speaks to where it is nowadays, where being able to get published in that. It's a lot, I don't want to say easy. I don't like using that word, but it is a lot more accessible to people than it's ever been. And now that kind of leads us into your book. And let's go ahead. I want you to go ahead and talk about this. I was going to give a description. You can do a lot better job than I can, but I look forward to diving into this with you. Tell us about the book, Lori.
Okay. My book is called Giddle. Like I said, I write for my inner 12-year-old, but my book itself, I call all ages historical fiction because a lot of my readers have been adults, and adults seem to enjoy it just as much as middle grader would. So I'd say it's for ages 11 and up. There is a little bit of difficult material in it, sort of emotionally. Mm-hmm. The book tells the story of 13-year-old Gittel Borenstein and her family. They've fled a deadly pogrom in Kishinev. To start over as farmers in a small town in central Wisconsin. When I initially pitched the book to an editor and they were interested in it, the editor called it Fiddler on the Roof meets Little Town on the Prairie.
Oh, I love that.
Which sounded kind of silly, but it's actually a pretty apt description of the book.
Yeah, it seems to work, yeah.
So the story is set. It has in a fictional version of Arpin, Wisconsin. So most of you, hopefully your listeners, are aware of the little town of Arpin. Mm-hmm. Once upon a time in Arpin, starting in 1904, there was a Jewish agricultural settlement there, which most people probably have never heard of. Mm-hmm. But my great-grandfather lived there for about 5 years. And on a research trip years ago, I went to visit the site of the colony, and there is absolutely nothing left of it. And in fact, really hardly anyone remembers it was there. And that really, I had a moment standing there realizing that this history had vanished.
Yeah.
And I can't say I just ran home and wrote a book about it, but it certainly percolated and stewed for a very long time until eventually I did sit down and decide to write a story that was set there.
Hmm. Lori, so just to let you and the audience know, there is an ulterior motive of why I wanted to have you on today. This book is important, and it's important to tell these stories. And the audience knows by now, if you don't, I'm Jewish. I come from a mixed family of Jewish and Catholicism. And for my family, who lost members in the Holocaust and lost members in the plagues and lost members at every turn in history, that history gets lost. And these stories, the only way they stick around is if we retell them. A huge part of Jewish culture is continuing to tell stories and making sure that they stay alive for the next generation and so on and so on. You doing this has, it's entertaining. It's a beautiful story. It's a wonderfully well-written book. It's also important data. And important to keep this kind of thing going and keeping these stories moving. That's a big part of what you've done with this book. It is not a simple feat, and it's something that is incredibly appreciated and unable to be put into words. As much as I want to call myself a writer, I can't put into words how much it means to not just me, but to our community and to continue to tell these stories, especially in 2025 and in this day and age. It's a great book. It's very entertaining. It's also meaningful, and I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much. I can't tell you what it means for me to hear that. I've gotten a lot of really positive response from like the online Jewish community, which has been incredible and honestly not anticipated. But honestly, when I set out to write the book, it was central Wisconsin and the people in Wisconsin Rapids in that area that I was thinking about. Because you know, it happened there. It was tied to this place. It's why, it was why I grew up there. It was why my family was there. And in some ways, even though the book is set in 1911, there's a bit of my experience growing up there that's sort of embedded, I think, emotionally in the story as well.
Yeah. You know, I was curious about that. With your ties to the area, your family ties to the area and some of that, and certainly the emotional part of that. A good author, they always tell you to write what you know. And so incorporating parts of your childhood or parts of your own feelings into the characters had to come a bit organically, or was it more intentional?
It's just organic.
Yeah.
For me, it's almost not so much you write what you know, although that is true. It's more like write what you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't write for therapy.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But, you know, no matter the character, if I can't make an emotional connection with them, I'm not going to be able to communicate to a reader either.
A great point. And you are such a good writer. That is such a better line. I've never heard it put that way. You write what you feel. That is really good. You know, to be honest, writing what you know never made 100% sense to me, because I feel like most of the good writers I read, I do a ton of research and do all this homework on these subjects they've never heard about before. So it that makes a lot more sense, what you said. I like that a lot more. That's good. We're speaking with Lori Schneider and talking about her book, Gittle. Did I say the right Gittle?
Yep.
Uh-huh. Gittle. And Lori, part of the other reason we have you on is not only this book, which we will let everybody know where they can find it and get it online and before we wrap up today. It's also this great event that you are going to be doing along with our friends at the Southwick County Historical Museum. You're going to be there's a Meet Your Author event coming up Wednesday, June 25th at 5:00 over at the museum at 543rd Street South. What can people expect with this event?
You were listening to Director's Playhouse. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Attacks are intensifying on day 7 of the Israel-Iran conflict. The BBC's Hugo Bechega.
We've had reaction from the Israeli authorities accusing Iran of deliberately targeting a hospital. We don't know what the target here could have been.
Israel says at least 40 people were injured. Correspondent Ed O'Keefe is at the White House.
CBS News has learned the president approved unspecified attack plans as an option, but is holding off in case Iran agrees to abandon its nuclear program.
A heat dome is spreading brutal temperatures across the country a day before summer officially begins. CBS's Andres Gutierrez is in Las Vegas.
Today, it will once again perhaps reach up to 110 degrees, and this is going to be keeping paramedics on guard.
Temperatures are expected to climb into the 90s for the first time this year in New York City and Boston. That's about 20 degrees above normal. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.